I'm Melissa Goud with you on WNRN, and the biggest concert of the year is coming to Scott Stadium tonight, and the internationally renowned Muse will be the first act on stage. While WNRN gets you psyched for the show, I am pleased to have by phone the band's drummer, Dom Howard. Dom, thanks so much for being here with us today.
It's a pleasure.
I did want to ask you, I saw that you, Matt, and Chris had all been going to school together in the 90s. Were you guys friends before you started Muse?
Yeah, I mean, well, we started the band when we were about 13, but or 14 or something like that, so little kids, really. But I suppose just before that, we kind of knew of each other, but we weren't really, like, you know, best friends or anything like that. I suppose we became friends through, you know, getting in a band together and discovering a real kind of passion for music that all three of us had. So it was the music that brought us together, really. And we were kind of three guys that grew up in the southwest of England in a little county called Devon, where not much is going on. But we were like one of the only few people, or the three people that seemed to be, that weren't actually kind of born there, I suppose. So we all kind of came down there at different ages. So we all kind of just connected. Certainly through the music, but a very young age, really. But we quickly learned that we all loved music a lot, so we became great friends.
So the songs that you were writing when you were 13 or 14 years old, what kind of things were you kind of talking about when you were that old?
You know, kissing girls, probably.
All the important things.
But, you know, basics. I don't know what, you know, 13-year-old kids, 14-year-old kids talk about back in those days, but I remember, I don't know, we used to try and get deep at a young age. I think we used to sit around and try and talk about the meaning of life and from an early age. But, you know, in a very kind of teenage, 13-year-old kind of way. I don't know, but I think once we actually started a band doing cover songs. Me and Matt were in a band. I asked him to join my band because my guitarist was rubbish. And I got Matt in because I knew he was a good musician. And then we worked together just playing other people's songs with a few other guys for a while. But then we got very bored of that, and we wanted to start writing our own songs. So all the other band members, like, fell away. And then we discovered that Chris was the only other person in the school that seemed to be quite interested in music, so we got him in. But I don't know, I think even from an early age, we were trying to always do something quite different with our music.
Yeah. Now, when you put out your first professional EP, can you believe it was 11 years ago that you put out the Muse EP?
The Muse EP? What's 11 years ago? 1998.
Yeah. It's crazy that it's been that long, right?
Yeah. I think we probably put out our second EP by then. But that's quite a long time ago. That's quite amazing. I mean, it's kind of, obviously it's 10 years ago since we released our first album, pretty much.
Right.
To the date. So, yeah, it's flown by. we've done five albums in that time and certainly seen and experienced some great things around the world.
Right. Were you at all surprised at the praise that you got when you were first putting out EPs and that first album?
I suppose, you know, we've always been quite, you know, pleasantly surprised with how we've been received over the years. But, I mean, for us, you know, nothing happened, like, too quickly. Like, we didn't, like, be particularly successful very quickly or anything like that. It took quite a long time. You know, every album seemed to grow and get slightly bigger than the last one, and then the shows would get bigger and bigger. So it was never, like, one big jump. But, you know, certainly in those early days, like, when we first got signed, it was a very kind of surreal time because one minute we were back in our homes in Devon kind of holding down rubbish jobs like painting and decorating and working in music stores and stuff like that, and then the next minute we were, you know, hanging around in LA driving around in Rick Rubin's limo, people trying to sign us. So it's kind of quite a strange moment, but I think, you know, from a very early stage, I suppose, when we first released the album, we really concentrated on touring quite a lot. We toured everywhere, like all around Europe and, you know, a little bit in America, but mostly in England and Europe, like playing tiny little clubs, but in as many, many cities and countries as we could. So it seemed to be like the similar kind of ethos that carried on throughout the rest of our career to date, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, you speak about the albums kind of, getting bigger as the years go along. And it seems like the soundscapes have also kind of grown over that amount of time as well. This latest album, it is so interesting. And I feel like you've kind of got that classical side of Muse that you're kind of hearkening back to, like you went into in Origin of Symmetry. Can you kind of share with us where rock meets classical for Muse?
Well, it's a fine line. It's a fine balance to try and kind of mix any genre with another one, you know, because it's you know, you can, if you get it wrong, it can sound awful. and I suppose, you know, trying to mix like rock music with, you know, you say classical music or like piano, mm-hmm. old piano-influenced music, it can be, you know, it can be pretty challenging in spots, and certainly like a track called Exogenesis, which is a kind of symphony that we did on this new album, which are the last three tracks. That was quite a very challenging thing to do because we really didn't want it to sound like a kind of what is ultimately like a three-piece rock band with a big orchestra tacked on the side of it. We really wanted it to really work together and be as one, and I think that's the way we've always approach the music. But it's there's definitely quite a few string arrangements, some great string arrangements that Matt did on this album, and some of it is very, very orchestral as well. But we kind of, you know, we just want to try and find that balance of mixing genres of music that isn't kind of jarring or anything like that. And I think we've kind of found some kind of method of doing that, I think, with this album. But I think there's all sorts on this album, you know, from like just heavy rock riffs, some you know, hard riffs like Unnatural Selection to like stuff that's very kind of electronic and almost like, you know, hip-hop or R&B influenced or something like that with Undisclosed Desire.
Yeah, that's the track that we're playing right now. And yeah, it's definitely got this interesting kind of soul vibe to it, especially with, you know, everything that you're talking about with Undisclosed Desires. Where does a song like that kind of come from? Do you just kind of say, you know what, we want to have something a little bit different on this album, or is it something that comes about a little bit more organically?
I think, yeah, we definitely, well, basically, I think Matt came in with the string part. It's got like this kind of, plucky pizzicato string part, and he's like, here you go. And then we jammed on it for a while, trying to like figure out how we were going to kind of turn this into something that the band can play.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through loads of different ideas, and I think just through like playing lots of grooves, and the thing kind of evolved into something that needed to be quite electronic, I think, in its approach. So I did loads of programming on it in the end. But we didn't get to that stage without it being, you know, like jammed on for quite a while with, you know, me and Chris and the three of us. But as soon as I started doing some programming, it really kind of took on a completely completely different face, really, and a completely different character, and it was really refreshing because it felt like something the band has never done before.
Yeah.
But I guess, we just wanted it to be kind of, just quite R&B influenced or something like that. I think we were listening to a bit of like, a bit of Timbaland and Kanye West in the studio, and some band called Anti-Pop Consortium as well. So we were listening to a bit of that, and it was quite, you know, interesting to hear how those guys do that kind of thing.
Yeah,
this is pretty quite different from that, but we still wanted it to sound quite dark and synthy at the same time as well. So I don't know, it's hard. It's, you know, songs just like evolve very naturally in the studio. None of them are really too preconceived. It's something that you start in one spot and it normally ends up, you know, kind of very far away from how you thought it was going to be.
and that's where the fun comes in for all of us. I did want to ask you about this one track on the album. It kind of politically charged, United States of Eurasia, Collateral Damage. I'm guessing that this is sort of like a statement on the European Union. Can you describe for an American audience your views on this issue?
Well, really, that song is kind of, it's a bit of like a fantastical song in some ways, but it's influenced by a book called The Grand Chessboard, which is basically about America's foreign policy and how it views and perceives Europe, or the whole of Europe, you know, not just Western Europe, the whole of Eastern Europe as well, and how, you know, it can politically have allies in certain places to kind of for political gain, really, I suppose. And this song is kind of influenced by that kind of thing, by, I guess, the US's view on European policy. But it's kind of like a fantastical song in it. It's an idea of kind of unification across the whole of Europe, and how much of a positive thing that can be, you know, if a massive amount of unification took place. But at the same time, it could also create this kind of huge superpower that could end up being bigger than any other superpower in the world, and also with this positivity, you might end up finding something quite destructive at the end of it, really. So it's got quite a fantastical edge to it as well.
Yeah, which in the album as a whole kind of works well, because, you know, there is that grand soundscape that goes along with your music in general. And, you know, to have this as a piece of that puzzle, I think works in quite well.
Thank you.
So I did want to ask you, I know we're nearing the end of our time together, Dom. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the tour. How has the tour been going so far?
Well, the tour's been great so far. We've literally, you know, just started. We've been doing this stuff with U2, which has been really great so far, and nice to play in some big stadiums over here in the US. It's something we've never done over here, so it's great to kind of get the chance to do that. And but yeah, we're just excited about everything that's coming up in the next, well, you know, year and a half or 2 years of touring. Really, we're going to be doing some great stuff, so it's great to be back, that's for sure. And you know, we're looking forward to coming back to the States again, obviously, after we finish this U2 tour, and come back certainly next year and do our own big tour, which is going to be really, really great as well. So, yeah, we're just very excited, raring to go. We're right at the beginning, so we're kind of looking forward to what it's going to bring us.
All right. Well, I know a lot of people out there have actually said that the reason that they're going to see, going to the Scott Stadium show tonight is so that they can see Muse. So it should be a good, strong crowd for you guys today. And do you have any special things up your sleeve for tonight?
Special things up our sleeve? well, you know, we're just going to go out there and kind of rock pretty hard. I think that's the idea. But obviously we can't, because it's not our own show, we can't have all the kind of bells and whistles and silly tricks that we normally do back home or over here when we do our own shows. So, but it's a good show as well, and we're kind of using a lot of their screen and stuff like that. So there's quite a big visual thing going on with some cool cameras and effects and things like that. So it's a decent show. So, but we're just going to go out there and rock.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to seeing it tonight, Dom. I want to thank you so much for being with us here at WNRN. And we're going to keep on playing some great music for you, and we'll probably get into some Undisclosed Desires right now on WNRN.
Good choice.
Dom, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And enjoy Charlottesville. I hope you get a chance to see a little bit of the town while you're in and around here. And
Yeah.
And good luck with the tour.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.